We want to get right into our lesson for today. Praise the Lord. We began teaching on the spiritual gifts of discernment. And we know that most church folks, they know little or nothing about the gifts of discernment, because the use of spiritual gifts are really not taught in the church. So that's why we're doing this lesson, because we feel led by the Holy Spirit to talk about the gifts that God has given us and the weapons that God has given us. The spiritual gifts of discernment, that's what we're talking about today. And we know that most of the church, they're not familiar with the gifts of the Spirit, and they know hardly anything or nothing about the gift of discernment. So therefore, the church has missed out on most of what the Spirit of God is conveying to us right now through the scriptures. Again, as I said, because they don't know how to take these gifts that God has given us. They don't know how to take the scriptures apart so that they can study and meditate and speak the word also, and by praying for God to give them revelation knowledge of these gifts. So all of this comes into play when we're talking about studying the word, learning the things that God has given us through the scriptures. It's going to take an in-depth study. We're going to have to meditate. We're going to have to speak the word. And we're going to have to pray for God to give us revelation knowledge of what he's saying in the scriptures. So we're going to begin to study how to use the gift of discernment. And if we're going to be successful in doing these things, we're going to have to do it according to the word of God. It requires a great deal of time and effort for us to get the word of God and make sure that we do it exactly the way he said do it. Most Christians don't take the time to really study the scriptures until God reveals himself through them. They don't take time. See, it takes time to study, to read, to meditate, to pray over the scriptures, and then it takes time for us to hear what God is saying to us. So we have to have time to listen. Not just us doing all the talking and stuff, but we have to be able to listen. And it takes time for us to do all of these things and hear back from God what he would have us to do. So this is what's required of a saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled child of God. You might want to check your resume and to see if you're measured up. Just check yourself out and see if you're measuring up to what God is telling us to do. Because we are his church, and we have to do exactly what he tells us to do. There's a lot of prayers being prayed that are never answered. There are prayer failures, and people hold God to blame for those failures in their prayers. He's not to blame. It's us. You know, we start out without any way to win. Without any way to win. We can't win when we don't know what we're doing. You know, what I mean by that is we have to believe. See, you have to believe. When you start the prayer, the prayers and to pray, you're going to have to believe that what you're asking God for, that you can have it, and you will have it. And you have to believe in yourself that you are praying the right way. You are praying according to the scripture. And there are scriptures. You look at Mark 11, 24 and 25. It tells us how we're supposed to believe. And at the moment we pray, believe that we receive. So there are things in the Bible that tells us exactly what to do. There are scriptures. But we have to learn the scriptures. We have to know the scriptures. So, I mean, but you know, that's what I mean by you have to do exactly what God say do. You have to believe that you will receive. what you're petitioning God for. One way to make sure our prayers are answered is to make a thorough study of the scriptures, things that you wish to have, you know, things that you need. You need to be able to meditate on them, study them, pray over it, and expect God to give it to you. Expect Him to give you the answers as soon as you pray. And we have to keep on until we receive it by faith. You don't stop just because you don't see it or you don't hear from God. You keep on doing the same thing until you receive it by faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and that's in Romans 10 and 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is what I'm telling you. Without the word of God, you cannot have faith, because that's how faith comes, is by the word of God. We can't get by without doing the things by the precise specifications from the word of God. And what that means is the word gives us specific ways to do things. God tells us exactly how He wants us to do things. And we have to make sure that we begin to practice doing it the way God said, not way our old forefathers told us to do, or someone we heard way down the line told us to do that we admire. We have to do it the way God says. Faith comes when you say a thing and you keep saying it and you keep believing it, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, whether it's the truth or whether it's a lie. When we say a thing and we keep saying a thing, it's going to come to reality in our life. We're going to believe that thing, you know? You know, we have to make sure that we know what we're doing. And when you tell a thing long enough, when you tell a lie long enough, it becomes your truth. And we know that the big lie of our former president, we know it's still being propagated today. We see that big lie playing out each day and every day. The literal lie about election fraud, until this thing is played out. He told it so many times and so long, and he's still telling it until he have many people believing it. And they believe that it's the truth. So continually speaking the word will ultimately cause faith and belief that the things that we are praying for will come. See, that's the difference between the lie and the truth. When we tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth to us. It might not be the truth to other people, but it becomes the truth to us. But when we tell the truth will set in, and it will be the truth in us, and it will come to pass. And that's what we're trying to accomplish in this lesson. We can see this very clear, you know, in the fifth chapter of Mark. We will begin to read verses 21, and we'll probably go to verses 24. And verse 21 says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much peoples gathered together unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Jesus was almost by the seashore. Verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus. We all know that story. Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Listen at this. This is an awesome way to come to the King, to the Lord of Lords, which we fail to do. When Jairus, the minute he saw Jesus, he ran to him and he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. You see what Jairus did? You know, that same action and opportunity is still available for us today through the word. We're not going to see Jesus in person, but we can see him through the word. The Bible gives us success by that very same Jesus, the same opportunity to take advantage of. God gives that to us through the word of God. What Jairus did, we can follow his example. Number one, what did he do? Jairus recognized Jesus was the Lord of Lords and he was the King of Kings. And that made him fall to his knees. You know, do we really recognize God as such? Do we really recognize him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? Or do we just think he's some kind of Santa Claus that we could just call out stuff that we want and he gives it to us? The second thing Jairus did was he humbled himself under the power and the presence and authority of Jesus. Do we hold Jesus in that highest esteem, or do we simply just pay lip service to him? And most people are just paying lip service to God, because if you truly knew who he was, if you truly held him into the position that he is in and that he will always be in, he is our Lord of Lords. He is our King of Kings. And the Bible says he's our soon coming King. He's going to come back again. So do you hold him in that same esteem, high esteem? Do we respect and honor his presence? You know? Oh my God, do we just look for his power to give us the things that we ask him for? Is that all we think Jesus is there for and God is there for, just to give us the things that we ask for? No, it's much more. We have to have a reverence for Jesus, a deep regard for him. You know, we have to regard him and treat him with the highest regard and respect. Look, Jesus saved us from a burning hell. You know, he brought us back to the right standing and the righteousness of our Father God. He saved us. He forgave us of all of our sins. He gave us life, and that more abundantly. You know, he suffered. He suffered for us. This is what Jesus did for us. Jesus brought complete salvation to us, and we don't respect the word of God. My God. Now, I'm not talking about everybody and all of the church people. We're not talking about everybody. We're talking about the ones that are not doing the things that they're supposed to do. We don't respect him when we see him in the scriptures. This is how we have to love him and respect him and do the things he does, that he tells us to do. We have to look through the scriptures, and the scriptures is our guide as to how we treat God, how we love God, how we love Jesus, and how we're obedient. So we have to look through the scriptures, you know, and we have to fall down and honor him, you know, for being the living word. He is the living word. He is the living God. So he's still alive. And we have to see him as still the God. Not in person, but through the word. He is the living word. And we see this in the books of the Bible, that he is the living word.
So this is what we'd like to call you, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah.